Hi, this is Wade. Hey, I don't know how many of you know it, but for the last 2 years, I've been pretty focused on small cell development as well as macro and everything else. So I'm going to start talking about that more and more. One thing that we're going to see in 2016, I hope, is more of a small cell and an individual cell build out. In other words, more of the densification. So we have been working mostly with small cells, indoor and outdoor, and they're very different designs. I think they are. Different people have different opinions. So when I say indoor, I usually mean in a building or in an office building or something like that. The other thing that can be indoor is generally a train station or a bus station, something like that. High traffic areas, a stadium could be indoor and outdoor, a mix of both. But I think what we're going to see is more of the HetNet systems, especially now that LTE is going to be pretty much the standard out there for everything. What I wanted to talk about was the small cell naming overview. Just give you an overview of some of the names. Now, everything's a small cell, right? They have different names for different applications, so I think it's good to know this. It's just going to help you out, I think, as you go through here. So I know different companies have different standards. Like with AT&T Wireless and Verizon Wireless, they're very careful to use the proper names. They want to make sure that a femtocell is a femtocell, a picocell is a picocell, and a metrocell is a metrocell. So, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. There are other carriers that, you know, they don't care. Small cell is a small cell. They call them all picocells or something. They really don't differentiate. The only thing they probably differentiate is a femtocell. So let's get into it. So a small cell, first off, is generally that can be everything, right? So it's generally, you know, 5 watts or less. It's mounted very low down where the public is, whether it's outdoor or indoor. If it's indoor, it's going to be very similar to, say, a Wi-Fi, the way you would mount a Wi-Fi, like close to the population, close to where the people are. Wi-Fi is very low power, generally well under a watt. And with small cells, they can be 5 watts or under. The difference is with Wi-Fi, obviously, it's on the unlicensed band. And with a small cell, it's in a licensed band. So that's going to be the difference. There's different types of small cells, you know. Generally, when I talk about a small cell, it's all inclusive with the BBU, which is a broadband unit, and the radio head, all in one unit. Those are the very low power, the ones you can run fiber, copper to, and bam, you hook it up, and it's pretty well ready to go, as long as, you know, obviously it has to go back to the core, and it has to get assigned an IP address, it has to be connected to the system, so on. There's a lot of background stuff, but right now, I just want to talk about devices. I'll go into the end-to-end system here in the future. So I wanted to give you an update on that, Just wanted to explain that. So the next one I want to talk about is a femtocell. Generally, this is what we would call a private small cell. You would go in a home or a business, very low power, very small, generally for loading, generally for one room or, say, a house. It's very specific as to where it goes. This is normally what the carriers would sell to a person or maybe give to somebody to improve their coverage at their house. And with 3G, it was a big deal for coverage. Like T-Mobile really deployed a lot of these. They were big into making sure people had coverage so they could use their phones. And that way they didn't have to build a macro site out because one guy lived in, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. Let's put it that way. With LTE, they'll be used more for just to give people coverage and densification. And offloading of the macro, perhaps. But with people having Wi-Fi, that really covers a lot. And I think that's why T-Mobile did the voice over Wi-Fi, because then people could use their Wi-Fi at home. You know, generally at home, the Wi-Fi is very clean, unless you have a bunch of kids that are on there doing stuff all the time. It's generally very clean, and you can get on there and, you know, do some type of VoIP call. Although it's voice over Wi-Fi, it's still a voice over IP of some type. But generally pretty good. So now, picocell is something that's generally bigger than a femtocell. Normally, when people use picocells, it's not quite an outdoor small cell, generally. Everyone has their own opinion, and I got to tell you, it's open to interpretation depending upon which carrier you talk to. But the picocell is generally slightly bigger, used at a bus station, maybe a stadium, maybe 10 to 100 connections at any given time, maybe more, you know, but generally a little bigger. Mid-sized business, you know, some type of enterprise where you would need a little more coverage, a little more power. And then a micro cell is generally a bigger unit where you would use at a train station, an airport, or something like that. And then they have a metro cell, which is even bigger. And that's generally the outdoor cells that you see. Now, the problem is with all this naming, everyone, you know, scrapes up these names, Alcatel-Lucent. I mean, they call all their small cells Metro Cell. They have the MCO, the Metro Cell Outdoor, and the MCI, Metro Cell Indoor. Ericsson has the DOT radio system, which is really a distributed radio head, is what it is. So there's a lot of things. So generally, it's going to be broken down like this. You have the indoor small cell, which is just what it says, generally a small cell, which is mounted indoors. What they also have is where you have a BBU hosted somewhere, and then you can have remote radio heads too. Two separate systems. You have the indoor small cell, which is all inclusive, and then you also have the distributed radio head. Most of the a lot of the OEMs, and I'm not just talking the big boys, you know, a lot of them, like SpiderCloud, is very successful with their indoor small cell system. Very successful. They really made an aggressive push to work with the carriers. They've really done a lot to really deploy mass numbers, and they made it easy. And I'll go into the end-to-end system in another post, but not this one. The outdoor small cell, just what it says, outdoor small cell. And again, could be a radio head, could be an all-inclusive small cell. So let's talk. I know I'm getting a little confusing here for most of you, but let's talk about the distributed radio system. Now, this is where you would have your BBU, which is your broadband unit, in one location. If it's a building, it might be in a closet. Or what the carriers might do is put it at a macro site and then run fiber out to the sites they want it. Or they may put it nearby in a closet in a building where they have good backhaul and then just run fiber to these remote locations, say a telephone pole, a light pole, something like that, where they have the RRH, which is remote radio head. And that would be part of a distributed radio system. So what some of the carriers call these BBUs are BBU hotels, where they just have several cards in there that control a radio head for each different area. Then they know exactly where the radio head's mounted. Radio head could be mounted miles away. But if you look at it from a technician's point of view, to do work on all these radio heads all over different locations, they can go to the BBU and then basically upload everything from there. Now, if there's a problem with the radio head or the connection to the radio head, then, you know, you got to go out to the location. Generally, they run fiber. That's the commonality now. Usually dedicated fiber between the BBU hotel and a remote radio head, generally. They could run wireless. There's a lot of different wireless. And the limitation right now is timing. So fiber, they can usually go farther with fiber because you can get a cleaner, dedicated, faster signal through fiber than you can, say, through wireless. Because with wireless, there's a lot of delays in the radios and the systems and the error correction and so on. And also, if it's sub 6 gig, you know, you have a lot of error correction and checking for interference and so on. So that's what they generally do. Now, these BBUs, or at least with some of the OEMs, they have what's called a CPRI, a CPRI, which is a common public radio interface. And the reason they did that on their BBUs so you can really attach other radio heads to it. You don't necessarily need to use the OEM's radio head. So they came up with a common way to do the front haul. Front haul, there's another one. Backhaul, as you know, is from the small cell or the BBU, the broadband unit, back to the core. They can go through the internet generally, or they can have a dedicated link somewhere. Front haul is generally from the BBU out to the remote radio head. Front haul. They call it front haul because it goes forward. It goes to the radio head, then the signal goes out to your device. So that's something you can, you know, understand the nomenclature. So when you deploy these and someone says front haul, you're very clear on what they want. Something from the BBU out to the radio head. And the other thing, let me just move on here. Distributed small cell system, DSCS. So what that is just like it sounds. You guys probably know what a DAS is, distributed antenna systems. And small cells play well with DAS, actually, because DAS used to have a full, you know, like a 20 watt or a 30 watt E-node B, and they had to attenuate the power down. Why they did that was because a lot of the E-node Bs in the early days, if you would start them up, they came up full power and then brought the power back. The problem is if they came up full power in a DAS system, they could blow all the amplifiers out and all the distribution systems. So small cells are going to play better with them. They don't have to attenuate everything down. And in case you can't picture it, when they attenuate it down, attenuators literally do that. They bleed off power. They attenuate the signal. but they get very hot. So now you have to have an attenuation system. You have to have cooling and fans. You have to have the room to be able to do that, and perhaps an exhaust to the outside or air conditioning or whatever to keep the room reasonable. So by putting a small cell in, you eliminated all that. But with that said, distributed small cell systems is just that, where you would distribute, say, small cell and Wi-Fi, the units. And from you would either have like a BBU, or you would run it right from a router. You would have home runs, either copper or fiber, that would go out to all these units. Because even with Wi-Fi, unless you have a mesh system, you pretty much need copper. But you can have a wireless backhaul. I mean, it's that's the goal, you know, to get as cheap as possible and distribute as freely as possible. So as you can see, or what you've been listening to, is there's a lot of different solutions for small cells, right? I just want you to understand the different nomenclature for this, because it's one of those things that can get very confusing. But really, in the future, you're going to have femtocells, which is basically a private small cell at someone's location, and you're going to have indoor and outdoor. I mean, really, that's what it's going to come down to. And then you're going to have, obviously, the different OEMs that make it, different manufacturers. The thing about a manufacturer with one carrier, you can't just create a small cell and bam, you can just bring it up on a frequency for the carrier. It has to be tested. Carriers are very anal retentive about what goes on their network, for good reason. If you put something on their network that can take the network down, take the cell down, a cluster down, the backhaul, anything that causes problems, it's real problems. The carriers that have these guys and girls that have these people take care of their networks, they're anal about how to take care of their network. Once something is approved and on the network, they want to make sure it's going to be safe for the network. They have enough problems. They have enough problems that they have fiber cuts, they have storms, they have power issues, they got all these other problems. They got to worry about viruses now. You know, there's always a virus out there and heavy loading. So what they want to do is make sure that nothing unauthorized and untested gets onto their system. That's why they have these integration tests and lab tests and so on. It has to be GA'd, which is just GA, generally accepted. So with all that, I know I'm rambling on here. I'm just trying to give you an overview of what's out there. And one of the future things that's going to change too is CRAN. That's where they have, RAN is radio access network, and the C stands for cloud, where they're going to have more and more done on the cloud as far as backhaul. And they're going to control the RAN basically from the cloud. And the other thing they're going to try to do is some of the offloading to the core, because traditionally cell systems had everything go through the core for full control, through the core for the internet. So you had to go all the way back to wherever the core was for your region and out to the internet. Well, if you want to go out to the internet now, they're trying to get that offloaded so not everything goes back to one location. And I think they're doing it, right? So I'm way off base here. But back to deployment, you know, there are other deployment issues. There's going to be a lot of things. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about Sprint's densification, which I think a lot of people are going to do that. And that's where they want to drop as many, not only small cells, but single cell sites. You know, traditionally, we think of the macro site, they have 3, 6, 9, 12 sectors. But I think what Sprint wants to do is just drop a site, you know, wherever they can, full power, low power, based on the need, which is a good idea. So, and the other thing they got to worry about is backhaul. There's a lot of different types of backhaul. When you're putting small cells out there, and I know, I'll get in, I talk about this all the time. I thought I'd just put a quick blurb in here, but for the backhaul, generally, fiber is the norm right now, but fiber is very expensive to run. You could have copper. Copper generally is still a good bit of money to run with a bandwidth. You know, if you want 10 meg, 100 meg, a gig, it's a lot of bandwidth. That's why generally those distributed radio systems, they put the BBU in one location near a building, near a fiber drop, and then they just run fiber out to the radio heads. It's just easier. So, but that's something you have to think about too, is your backhaul. That is why wireless is an excellent backhaul system. They have a lot of, like, you could go Wi-Fi. A lot of times that'll work. You could go 60 gig, 70 gig, 80 gig, you know, the E-band and so on. That's clearly line of sight. The thing about 5.8, you know, the sub 6 gig, like what Radwin has, generally that you can be near line of sight or non-line of sight, long as you have signal and you're hoping it's reliable. And you're hoping nobody goes up near you and causes interference. Remember, it's on licensed backhaul. But the other thing you could have is UE relay, which is user equipment relay. And user equipment is generally like your smartphone. The reason they call it that, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, but they have those devices out there where they have Wi-Fi and then the carrier provides the connection. So you basically have, you know, what is it called? MiFi, where it's the it's one of those personal units that you can put out there. You have Wi-Fi connection to your devices, but the backhaul goes through the carrier system. It's the same concept. Same concept for this. The only thing is, do the carriers really want to spend the, I shouldn't say spend the money. Do they really want to give up their precious spectrum for backhaul? If they have it, maybe they want to do it. They want to dedicate a certain amount of spectrum for backhaul. But they paid a lot of money, you know, in the billions for this backhaul. So then they got to decide, is it worth using it as backhaul or is it worth just using like some sub 6 gig or running fiber? I don't know. That's their decision, not mine. But I think when they do the 3.5 gigahertz for bandwidth, that'll be pretty awesome because assuming the FCC releases enough spectrum. So then you could have a fixed wireless system providing a backhaul for the carriers, for the mobile wireless systems. It's just a thought. It really excites me because that's a whole new industry that could come about. And for all you guys that don't remember, you know, that's basically the concept of WiMAX. There's a lot of 3.5 gig backhaul for WiMAX. Problem was there wasn't enough bandwidth for what a lot of people wanted. But utilities liked it because utilities, that's all they needed. They didn't need a lot of bandwidth for what they did. You know, they were doing a lot of, like, let's say SCADA systems, which is where they read the meters, and that's basically their data system. They're reading just quick blurps of data, they're monitoring things, and it doesn't take a lot of bandwidth. And in case you're wondering, yeah, that's like the Internet of Things, where they have machines monitoring other machines, and once an alarm happens, then they alert you. It's going to be the same thing. Same concept. Different technology. All right, everybody. Let me know if you're interested. Give me feedback. WadeForWireless.com. And I do have products. I have links in there on WadeSarver.com. You can go there, WadeSarver.com. And I basically have a bunch of books and everything. I don't have any small cell products yet, but I will. I'm going to come up with some training, some videos, and some books, I think, just to go over this. If you're interested, let me know. Give me feedback. WadeForWireless.com or WadeSarver.com/podcast. And you know who I forgot to thank today is my sponsor, who is Tower Safety. So if you listen this long, don't forget that I should have said something earlier, but don't forget if for all your safety needs, your OSHA training, your safety training, tower training, deployment training, Tower Safety, based in Arizona, but they'll come to you. Their number is 480-313-0678. Give them a call. Tell them you care. And tell them Wade sent you, okay? Again, if you could leave me some like a review on iTunes or a review on Stitcher, I'd appreciate it. And that's all I got for today. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. See you.